Usually when we think about paying for something online, there's this expectation of like invisible simplicity.
Right,
You
yeah.
click a button, the little loading wheel spins for a second, and boom, the transaction is complete. We
Yeah.
expect it to be like walking into a really high-end restaurant.
Oh, absolutely. You order the souffle and, 20 minutes later, it just arrives perfectly puffed.
Exactly. You don't see the kitchen, you don't see the flames or the shouting or the really complex, rigid systems keeping the whole place from burning down.
As consumers, we basically demand that illusion of serene simplicity.
Yeah.
I mean, the mechanics of the transaction are supposed to be completely hidden from you.
But then you step into the world of cryptocurrency infrastructure, and suddenly you aren't just dealing with a standard, slightly chaotic kitchen.
Not at all.
You're dealing with a kitchen where the ingredients themselves are constantly changing shape and size and value while you're trying to cook them. And like the health inspector is standing right behind you with a clipboard.
That is a very stressful but very accurate analogy.
Right. So today we are walking right into the heart of that operational chaos. For you listening, we are diving into a genuinely fascinating piece of architectural documentation today.
Yeah, it's called the DST Gaming Architecture for Native Crypto Operations.
And this document, it's essentially a blueprint, right, for how you build that perfect, serene restaurant experience on top of the absolute unpredictability of the crypto ecosystem.
Exactly. It's a masterclass, really.
And look, if you've ever tried to run a business online, you know how painful even a standard traditional payment integration can be. Now imagine doing that, but the currency you're accepting fundamentally operates, outside the traditional banking system.
It's a completely different beast.
Yeah. So whether you are a software developer, an e-commerce operator, or just someone who is fascinated by how complex digital ecosystems actually function under the hood, we're really unpacking something special here.
We're looking at infrastructure that solves massive systemic business hurdles.
Technical friction, financial volatility, legal compliance, all of it neutralized at the foundation level before a user ever even clicks a button.
It really is a study in proactive system design, like
Yeah.
anticipating the exact points where a platform is likely to fail and engineering those failure points out of existence at the root level.
So let's start with the literal plumbing of the operation. The source document details that DST Gaming natively integrates six major cryptocurrencies.
Right, so we're looking at Bitcoin, Ethereum, USDT, USDC, Litecoin, and Tron.
And the crucial word here, a thing that stuck out to me, is natively. Everything from generating the specific wallet address for the user to managing confirmation thresholds, crediting deposits, withdrawals, it's all built directly into the core platform code.
Yeah, and that native integration is a massive departure from how the majority of the industry handles crypto
Because
payments.
normally you just use a plugin, right?
Exactly. The standard approach is to essentially, well, buy a car chassis from a software manufacturer and then hire a completely separate mechanic to duct tape an aftermarket engine into it.
Duct tape being the operative word there.
Totally. You have your platform, and then you go source a third-party crypto payment provider. You integrate their API, and then you just sort of pray the connection holds.
And every time you introduce a third-party API, you're introducing a completely new point of failure.
100%.
Like, if that payment provider servers go down, your business goes down. If they decide to, I don't know, triple their processing fees, your profit margins just vanish overnight.
But with this architecture, the engine is already installed at the factory. Crypto isn't an integration layer slapped on top. It's the fundamental fabric of the platform.
So the operator isn't writing custom code to handle, say, Bitcoin withdrawals.
No, which is good because writing that custom code carries massive security risks if you make even a single typo.
Right, yeah. Okay, let's unpack this a bit. If an operator is just tweaking configuration parameters instead of doing actual development, what specific controls are they actually given over how these different currencies behave?
So instead of coding, they are sitting at a control panel. They get this massive configuration leverage. They decide which of the six currencies to accept. They set deposit minimums, and they dictate the confirmation requirements for each specific blockchain.
Let's pause on that, actually,
Yeah.
because for anyone listening who just buys crypto on a consumer app and doesn't deal with the underlying plumbing, what does dictating a confirmation requirement actually mean on a mechanical level?
Sure. So whenever someone sends cryptocurrency, that transaction has to be verified by the decentralized network, the blockchain.
Right.
The network groups these transactions into blocks. When a block is added to the chain, that equals one confirmation.
Okay, makes sense.
But the problem, or I guess the reality, is that different blockchains move at vastly different speeds based on their underlying architecture.
So a transaction isn't just instantly final the millisecond someone hits send.
Far from it. A new block on the Tron network, for instance, is created every 3 seconds.
Wow. Okay. That's fast.
It is. But a new block on the Bitcoin network takes about 10 minutes.
Oh, right. So if I'm an operator, I have to handle those two completely different timelines.
Exactly. So if an operator sets a rule in this panel that says we need 3 confirmations before we credit the user's account, a Tron deposit will be fully credited and available for the user to play with in about 9 seconds.
Because it's 3 seconds per block.
Right. But a Bitcoin deposit with that exact same 3 confirmation rule, that might take 30 minutes.
Oh, man. So this configuration panel allows the operator to manually balance security versus user experience for every single currency, all without touching a single line of back-end code.
Yes. They can demand more confirmations for a massive deposit to be safe and fewer for a tiny one to keep things moving.
That makes total sense. So you have built this incredibly efficient intake valve. The money flows in, the network confirms it, and the user's ready to go.
Oh.
But bringing all these different currencies into the house creates a massive operational contradiction.
It really does.
You've just optimized your system to ingest money seamlessly. But the assets you are taking in, like Bitcoin or Ethereum, are inherently unstable. I mean, how does a business survive if its treasury dropped 20% in value while a player is in the middle of a game?
This introduces the biggest existential threat to any crypto platform: treasury volatility.
Right, because standard accounting goes out the window.
It makes it almost impossible. You can't forecast your revenue, you can't confidently guarantee payouts to your users, and you certainly cannot run a stable business on a completely unstable financial foundation.
So how does this document, this DST gaming architecture, actually handle that?
It tackles this with a default stablecoin first configuration.
Okay, explain that.
The platform accepts volatile assets like Bitcoin, but the system immediately converts that incoming value into a stablecoin like USDT or USDC.
And just as a quick refresher, stablecoins are crypto assets mathematically pegged to the US dollar, right?
Exactly, so they don't fluctuate. The result is that the operator's treasury balance remains completely insulated in stable value assets. It entirely ignores the wild market swings happening on the outside.
That solves the macroeconomic risk of currency devaluation. And you don't need a team of full-time financial traders to hedge the company's funds.
Precisely. It's automated hedging.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though, and I want to push back on this a little. Wait, so if a player specifically goes out of their way to deposit Bitcoin because they want to play in Bitcoin, I mean, they like the currency, they believe in its value.
Sure.
If the system instantly turns it into a stablecoin behind their back, does this immediate stablecoin conversion ruin their experience? Is it just a massive bait and switch where they log in and see their Bitcoin replaced by a digital dollar?
No, not at all. And this is really the genius of decoupling the front-end user interface from the back-end treasury mechanics.
Okay, how does that actually work mechanically?
Let's look at the mechanism. It's very similar to walking into a high-end casino in Europe with a stack of US dollars. The moment you step to the table, the dealer swaps your dollars for casino chips at the exact current exchange rate.
Right. So you're playing with the local representation of your money.
Exactly. You play your games with those chips. The interface you experience at the table feels seamless. And when you are ready to leave, you cash those chips out for whatever currency you want based on the new exchange rate.
So the platform is utilizing an automated liquidity pool to do this swap in milliseconds.
Instantly. The player deposits Bitcoin. On their screen, in their user interface, the platform can display their balance in Bitcoin or a fiat equivalent so they know their exact purchasing power.
So from their perspective, nothing changed. They get the experience they demanded.
Exactly. But the operator's back-end vault is holding USDC. So if the price of Bitcoin crashes 40% over the next 6 hours, the operator isn't left holding a depreciating asset.
That's brilliant. Mm-hmm. And when the player wants to withdraw?
The architecture simply reverses the process. It swaps the stablecoin back to Bitcoin via that liquidity pool and sends it directly to the user.
Wow. So the user gets the freedom of choice, and the business avoids the heart palpitations of the Bitcoin price chart.
Everybody wins.
It is an incredibly elegant way to neutralize that systemic financial friction.
Okay, so you have stabilized the money. It's safe from the market.
Yep.
But, you know, moving untraceable, borderless money instantly across the internet triggers the next massive hurdle. The regulators. Who exactly did that money come from?
Oh, yeah. The regulatory landscape for cryptocurrency is entirely unforgiving right now.
It's getting stricter every day.
It is. You simply cannot operate a platform at scale without robust compliance infrastructure, specifically anti-money laundering, or AML, and Know Your Customer KYC protocols.
And the source text emphasizes that this architecture handles AML and KYC natively at the platform layer.
Right, it's not an afterthought.
It uses wallet address tagging, right?
Which
actively links a real user's identity to the specific crypto deposit address they use. Yes. But more importantly, it connects with major blockchain analytics providers directly via API.
Let's pause on the phrase API connection for a second.
Yeah.
Because in SaaSware, an API just means two programs talking to each other. It gets thrown around like a magic wand all the time.
Oh, constantly.
So how does an API instantly know a piece of Bitcoin is, you know, dirty?
Well, because blockchains are, by definition, public ledgers.
Right.
Every single transaction is recorded permanently. When a user deposits funds, the DST gaming platform uses that API to instantly query a massive database run by a blockchain analytics firm.
Okay, so it's reaching out to the experts.
Exactly. And that firm's software traces the specific coin back through its last 100 or 1,000 transactions in actual milliseconds.
Wow, so it's mapping the hops the coin took before it hit the platform.
Yeah, yes, precisely. And if that specific coin passed through a known dark web marketplace or maybe a wallet associated with a major exchange hack three hops ago, the analytics engine sees that ledger history immediately.
And then what?
The API flags it, generates a risk score, and feeds that score directly into the platform's native logic.
This sounds less like a bouncer checking IDs at the door, and more like an invisible security system that instantly runs your entire financial history the exact moment you hand over your cash.
That is exactly what it is. And this entirely changes how a business handles compliance.
How so? Like, what does this all mean for an operator's relationship with regulators? Does this genuinely prevent the dreaded post-launch compliance scramble?
Yes, it absolutely does. In the industry, that post-launch scramble is a very painful phenomenon. This is what we call reactive compliance.
When you just build it fast and figure out the rules later.
Right. A platform launches quickly, gets some traction, and then 6 months later, a regulatory body sends a letter demanding a full audit of their transaction history.
Which usually means sheer panic, freezing user funds, hiring incredibly expensive lawyers, and frantically trying to reverse engineer a paper trail that your system was never fundamentally designed to keep.
It is the standard nightmare for crypto operators. What this architecture provides is proactive compliance. Because the risk scoring happens at the exact moment of deposit, the platform's escalation logic handles the threat automatically.
Oh, so it responds on its own.
Right. If a deposit comes in from a high-risk wallet, the system catches it, flags the transaction, and automatically escalates the KYC requirement for that specific user.
What does an escalation look like?
It might freeze the deposit right then and there and demand a biometric passport scan before they can do anything else.
So an operator launching on this system starts on day one with an architecture that regulators can audit instantly.
Exactly. The regulatory reporting formats are basically baked in. They aren't going to have to tear their software down to the studs to rebuild it when the laws inevitably tighten.
The foundation is poured with compliance already in mind. It protects the operator from catastrophic legal liability without requiring them to, you know, employ a 20-person compliance team to manually review every incoming transfer.
It's all about automation and native integration.
Okay, so we have covered the technical ingestion, the financial stabilization, and the legal compliance. You have successfully satisfied the software engineers, the accountants, and the lawyers.
A miracle in itself.
Truly. But a platform is absolutely nothing without the people actually using it.
Very true.
And crypto native users are a notoriously skeptical, demanding demographic.
Oh, they are deeply paranoid by default. I mean, the foundational ethos of cryptocurrency is literally don't trust, verify.
Which brings us to the final piece of the architectural puzzle today. How does this architecture prove to the player that skeptical player sitting behind their screen that the system isn't rigged against them?
This is crucial for crypto-native gaming. Things like dice, card games, crash games.
The source text highlights that for those verticals, something called provably fair integration is strictly essential.
It's non-negotiable. Crypto-native players will disproportionately filter for this exact feature when choosing where to play. They will flat out refuse to play on platforms that lack it.
They demand mathematical proof of randomness for every single outcome.
They want the math, yeah.
The document mentions using cryptographic hashes and seed numbers to achieve this natively within the game UI. But before we talk about how DST Gaming actually integrates this, what is the player actually looking at here? Like, for someone who isn't a cryptographer, what exactly is a seed?
So it is a method of proving that an outcome was determined before the bet was placed and wasn't altered after the fact.
Okay.
Mechanically, the platform server generates a random string of characters that's the server seed. It mathematically scrambles the seed into a hash, which is just a complex, unreadable string of numbers and letters.
Right, like a code.
Yeah, and it shows that hash to the player before the game even starts. Think of it like the platform writing a prediction on a piece of paper and putting it in a locked glass box right on the table.
I see. You can see the boxes there, but you can't read the paper inside yet.
Exactly. Then the player's own browser generates a second random string, the client seed. When the game happens, those two seeds are combined to determine the final outcome.
And then they unlock the box.
Right. Afterward, the platform unlocks the glass box. They reveal the original server seed. And the player can use any independent third-party calculator to combine the two seeds and mathematically verify that it matches the exact outcome of the game.
Wow, that is brilliant math. Huh. So you literally cannot cheat.
It's mathematically impossible.
And DST Gaming handles this by integrating this entire provably fair verification interface natively within the game UI itself.
Right, rather than hiding it on a separate technical documentation page.
But I have to push back here for a second. Having the math to prove fairness is great, but if that proof is, I mean, does the average user actually sit there, copy the hashes, paste them into a third-party tool, and calculate the cryptographic output after every single roll of the digital dice?
Statistically, almost never.
Really?
Yeah, maybe 1 in 10,000 users actually takes the time to run the math on a regular basis.
Well, then why is it so strictly essential to put it right there in the main user interface?
Mm-hmm.
If nobody's doing the math, doesn't it just clutter the screen with useless data?
Well, this raises an important question, and it's actually a masterclass in behavioral psychology and interface design.
Okay, I'm listening.
The fact that the user rarely does the math completely misses the point. Making the transparency native to the UI, putting the verification tools, the seeds, and the hashes right there on the screen where the game is happening is a profound psychological signal.
It's the platform saying, we have absolutely nothing to hide. Here are the raw receipts. Check them right now if you want.
Exactly. If you hide that verification behind four clicks on a dense technical documentation page, it feels shady.
Yeah, it implies you're fulfilling a regulatory requirement begrudgingly and just hoping the user never actually finds it.
Right. But by bringing it out of the shadows and into the native game UI, the architecture treats transparency as a core feature of the entertainment experience. It neutralizes the user's psychological friction before the doubt even forms in their mind.
So the mere presence of the proof builds the trust, not the manual execution of the proof.
You're providing the tools for verification so seamlessly that the trust becomes implicit.
It goes back to everything we've discussed today about removing friction. You are systematically disarming the user's skepticism through design.
It's incredibly smart.
Looking at this entire architectural document, it really is a remarkable journey through problem solving. We've seen how elegant architecture solves four massive problems sequentially.
Yeah, the technical plumbing with native integration.
Right, and the financial risk with the stablecoin-first approach.
The legal safety with built-in KYC and AML tracing.
And finally, user trust with in-UI provably fair mechanics. It demonstrates how truly good system design anticipates the chaos of the real world and neutralizes it.
It looks at the brittle nature of third-party APIs, the terrifying volatility of the crypto markets, the crushing weight of regulatory scrutiny, and the inherent paranoia of the user, and it just builds structures to handle all of it before the friction actually occurs.
It achieves that invisible competence we talked about at the very beginning. The user only ever experiences the perfect souffle, completely unaware of the massive engineering effort happening under the floorboards.
It's the ultimate magic trick.
And to you listening, even if you never interact with a crypto gaming platform or launch one yourself, the implications of this document are incredibly broad.
Oh, they extend way beyond gaming.
Think about the digital storefronts where we buy our groceries, or the loyalty reward apps we use to get free coffee, or even traditional digital banking interfaces. If specialized platforms are pioneering this level of instant, auditable, natively transparent infrastructure today, How long until this architecture becomes the standard blueprint for everyday e-commerce?
I mean, once consumers realize that mathematical instant transparency is actually possible, they tend to stop accepting opaque traditional systems.
Exactly. I'll leave you with a final thought to mull over. If the technology exists to instantly trace the legitimacy of a fund, stabilize its value against market swings, and mathematically prove the fairness of a transaction right there on the screen, how long until we simply refuse to accept anything less from the apps we use every single day?
Well, our everyday apps need provably fair mechanics just to maintain our trust. It's a great question.
It completely redefines what we should expect when we click a button and wait for that loading wheel to spin. Until next time, keep exploring.